All right, data dashboards, anyone. We're going deep on RFlex dashboard, what it can do, how it stacks up against other frameworks. And you've given us a ton of material to work with.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do with Flex Dashboard. And it doesn't seem that hard to get started with either.
That's what really struck me too, how user-friendly it is, especially how smoothly it integrates with RStudio. A few clicks, boom, you've got your template ready to go. No mess around with configurations.
For sure. Getting started quickly is a huge plus. And then from there, you've got options. Static HTML dashboards, easy to share. Or you can go the interactive route. Shiny dashboards. Those really let you dive into the data.
Right. Picking the right tool for the job. Static dashboards are great for when you want to present like a clear set of findings, almost like a really well-designed infographic, you know?
Exactly. Like if you're making a report or giving a presentation, you want to hit the key points quickly. Like those sleek reports you see with, say, key performance indicators or highlighting trends, all visually appealing.
Yeah, kind of like a data poster. Easy to digest, looks good, gets the point across. But then what if you want to go beyond just a snapshot? Like what kind of interactivity can you get with Shiny dashboards?
Oh, that's where it gets really interesting. Shiny dashboards let people manipulate the variables and see how the visuals change in real time. Let's say you're analyzing customer data, trying to figure out segmentation. A Shiny dashboard could let you play with different algorithms and see how customer groups change based on things like, I don't know, demographics, their purchase history, all that.
So instead of just seeing static segments, you can actually tinker with it, see what happens live. That's powerful. And speaking of examples, the stuff you sent over had some pretty cool use cases for both static and Shiny. On the static side, there was that example with heat maps, visualizing NBA scoring.
Right. A heat map's a great way to see instantly where players are taking their shots from. Coaches could use that to figure out like where a player excels or maybe where they struggle. It could inform their strategy. And then for things like stock prices, website traffic, time series data, the Digraphs package lets you create these linked visualizations. Zoom in on one chart, the others adjust with it. It helps you see correlations, patterns that you might otherwise miss.
It's like having a synchronized view of your data.
Yeah.
Everything moving together. Pretty neat. But let's not forget the shiny magic, the interactive stuff. There were some really cool examples for that too.
Definitely. One that stood out was using Shiny to build a K-means clustering app. Imagine you've got a data set, customer info, whatever. This app would let you play around with different K values, you know, the number of clusters, and see how the groupings change visually. You could find the best K value to create meaningful segments for marketing, for instance.
So instead of just looking at static clusters, you get to experiment, right? Mm. See the effects in real time. That's really something. And then there was that one with like simulating those old faithful eruptions.
Yeah.
With adjustable parameters, all using Shiny.
Oh yeah, that one really shows off Shiny's ability to create simulations. You could change things like, oh, how long the eruption lasts, the time between eruptions, and see how it all plays out. Mm. It's fun, engaging, and helps you understand these complex processes.
Like you've got your own virtual geyser.
Mm-hmm.
You get to control the variables, watch it unfold. And the material mentions you can easily switch between static and interactive modes within Flex Dashboard, too. Sounds pretty flexible.
Yeah, it's impressive how you can start with a simple static dashboard, just present your initial findings. Then, if you need to add some interactivity, you can bring in those shiny elements later on. You don't have to rebuild everything from scratch.
It's like starting with a blueprint and then adding layers of interactivity on top as you go. Not an all or nothing situation. You can evolve your dashboard as your needs change. But before we get too caught up in the interactive bells and whistles, let's back up a bit. What about just the basic layout of a Flex dashboard? How easy is it to actually design the look and feel?
Well, one of Flex Dashboard's strengths is that it uses Markdown to create different layouts. So you don't need to be a web design whiz. You can arrange charts, tables, text, all using pretty intuitive headers and attributes.
So it's Markdown, user-friendly stuff, not needing to be a web development pro.
Yeah.
That's a relief. Tell me more about these layout options.
Sure. We've got five main ones highlighted in the sources, each with its own use case. There's chart stack, which comes in two flavors. Fill is for one or two charts stacked. Scrolling is for when you've got more than two and need that vertical scroll to fit them all in.
Like choosing the right bookshelf for your chart collection, making sure everything fits and is easy to look at. What else is there?
Then there's focal chart, which is great for when you've got one main chart you really want to highlight. It sits up top with other charts arranged below. And there's tab set row, perfect for organizing things into those neat little tabs.
Tabs are a lifesaver when you've got lots of information to present. Prevents clutter, lets users focus on one thing at a time, not get overwhelmed, like label drawers for your data insights.
Exactly. And finally, there's the multiple pages layout. It's for those more complex dashboards with different sections or chapters. Each page can have its own layout and orientation. You can tell a more comprehensive story with your data that way.
It's like a multi-page report, but with the added interactivity and visuals. And thankfully, the slides you provided really help visualize these different layouts. It's easy to see how they translate into a FESH dashboard.
Yeah, the visuals are key. They show how much you can customize things in Flex Dashboard. You can tailor your dashboards to different audiences, different data stories.
Okay, so we've talked about the types of dashboards you can make, how cool Shiny's interactivity is, and the different layout options. But how about a real-world example to tie it all together? You included a great one, a temperature humidity index dashboard. For CONUS, Lithuania.
Yes. It really shows how you can use Flex Dashboard to solve real problems. And what's impressive is it brings in things like parallel processing, you know, to handle larger data sets.
Wait, parallel processing? That sounds pretty technical. Mind breaking it down for those of us who aren't coding gurus?
Sure. Imagine you have a massive data set, weather data for a whole country over years. Analyzing that takes time. Parallel processing lets you split the tasks up, run it on multiple processors at the same time. Like having a team of computers working on the problem together, it speeds things up a lot.
So instead of one chef trying to cook a massive meal, you have a whole kitchen staff working in parallel. Makes sense.
Precisely. And this temperature humidity index, THI, it's a really neat metric. Combines temperature and humidity to tell you how comfortable or uncomfortable it feels outside.
So it's not just how hot it is, but how muggy it feels too. Much more relevant to how we actually experience the weather.
Exactly. Think about planning an outdoor event. The temperature might say it's 75 degrees, but if the humidity's through the roof, it'll feel way hotter. THI gives you the full picture.
Makes sense. And you even included a research article about THI.
Yeah.
Shows it's a real thing, not just some made-up number.
Right. And what's cool is the example dashboard doesn't just calculate the THI. It combines that with time series manipulation using the Xaxis package. And then there are interactive visualizations using Plotly and digraphs.
So you can see how temperature, humidity, THI all change over time. Track trends, spot outliers, get a deeper understanding of climate patterns in CONUS. Really shows how Flex Dashboard pulls together different tools and techniques for a more complete analysis.
It's a great example of how Flex Dashboard isn't just about pretty visuals. It can be a powerful tool for exploring data.
Okay, so we've dug into R Flex Dashboard, but we still have a lot to cover on other dashboard frameworks in both R and Python. What's next?
Time to zoom out a bit. See how Flex Dashboard stacks up against the competition? There's a lot to consider.
I'm ready to explore the world of dashboard frameworks.
Okay, so first up, let's talk about Jupyter Notebook.
Ah, Jupyter Notebook, a classic. Lots of data scientists use it. What makes it a good choice for dashboards?
Well, for one, it's versatile. You can use it with both Python and R, so you're not stuck with just one language. And it's really great for that initial exploration of data. You can combine your code, visualizations, and even write explanations right in the document. It's perfect for trying things out, iterating, and sharing what you find.
It's one of my favorite things about Jupyter Notebooks. It's like a digital lab notebook, you know. Document your entire thought process from exploring the data to the final visualizations. But how do you actually go from a notebook to a full-blown dashboard?
Good question. So while you can create some basic interactive elements within a Jupyter Notebook, it's not really designed specifically for building dashboards, not in the same way as a framework like, say, our Flex Dashboard. You'd often need extra libraries and extensions to make it a true dashboard.
Okay, that makes sense. So Jupyter Notebook is more of a general tool that you can adapt for dashboards, but maybe not the most streamlined or efficient option if your main goal is to build a standalone interactive dashboard.
Exactly. Now, when it comes to our Flex Dashboard, we've already talked about its strengths. It's purpose-built for dashboards, whether you want a simple static HTML report or a more complex Shiny app. And using it with R Markdown makes it really accessible for R users.
It's like having a dedicated dashboard toolkit right there in your R environment. You don't have to learn a whole new set of tools. But you mentioned earlier Flex Dashboard is tied to R. What if you're a Python person and want that same ease of use and flexibility?
Well, there's Jupyter Flex. It's meant to bring that Flex Dashboard kind of functionality to the Jupyter world.
So if you're already comfortable with Jupyter Notebooks and want to build dashboards within that, Jupyter Flex could be a good bridge between the two.
Right. And if you need more interactivity, Jupyter Flex works with Voila. That can turn your Jupyter Notebooks into standalone web applications.
It's like giving your notebook superpowers.
Mm.
They go from static documents to interactive web apps that you can share with others.
Exactly. And since we're talking about interactivity, we can't forget Shiny, a real powerhouse for building interactive web apps, both in R and, more recently, Python, too.
Shiny definitely has a reputation for being powerful and flexible. What sets it apart from the others we've talked about?
Shiny gives you tons of widgets and components. You get a lot of control over how your dashboard looks, feels, and works. You can build anything from simple input forms to complex visualizations. Think dynamic filtering, real-time updates, all that.
Sounds like the ultimate tool for really customized interactive dashboards. But, you know, sometimes with great power comes.
Yeah.
Are there any downsides to all that flexibility?
Yeah. Well, it does have a bit of a learning curve. It's not the easiest to master. And if you're building something really complex, it can be resource intensive.
So maybe not the best for quick and simple dashboards. But if you need that maximum interactivity and you're willing to put in the time to learn it, Shiny's a top contender.
For sure. Now, if you're mostly a Python user looking for a highly customizable framework, Dash is another strong option.
Dash seems pretty popular among Python folks. What are its main advantages?
Well, it uses Flask, Plotly.js, and React.js. So Flask is the backend web framework. Plotly.js handles those interactive visuals. And React.js gives you a powerful way to build those dynamic user interfaces.
So you've got this powerful trio working together behind the scenes, giving you lots of control over the design and how the dashboard works.
Exactly. And the great thing about Dash is you can create really custom designs using React components. They're like reusable building blocks for your interface.
Sounds like a dream for developers who know React and want to build those really polished, unique dashboards. But what about those of us who aren't as familiar with front-end development? Is Dash still accessible?
You can definitely create basic dashboards without getting too deep into React. But to really unlock its potential and create those custom designs, some web development knowledge, especially React, is going to be helpful.
Okay, so maybe not the most beginner-friendly option, but for developers comfortable with web technologies who want that level of control, Dash seems like a powerful tool.
It is. And then there's Panel, another Python framework that's known for being very flexible in building interactive web apps.
We've got Dash, we've got Panel. Lots of choices for Python users who want to build those highly customized dashboards. How's Panel different from Dash?
Well, Panel's strength is its integration with Jupyter Notebooks. You can just embed Panel components right into your notebooks. It becomes a natural extension of your data analysis. Plus, it supports a bunch of plotting libraries, so you have options for visualizing your data.
So if you're already living in the Jupyter world and you like having different visualization tools, Panel fits right in. You can use your favorite plotting libraries and make those visualizations interactive within a dashboard.
Exactly. Okay, now let's switch gears a bit and talk about a framework known for being simple and fast, Streamlit.
Streamlit seems to be getting really popular in the Python data science world. What's the big deal?
Streamlit is all about speed. Building prototypes quickly, it's got this really intuitive syntax, a minimalist design philosophy. You can create interactive dashboards with very little code, even if you don't have a ton of web dev experience.
Sounds perfect for data scientists who want to focus on the data, the insights, without getting bogged down in web development. Is it really that easy to use?
It's surprisingly intuitive, yes. You can turn a Python script into an interactive web app with just a few lines of code. Streamlit handles all the complicated stuff, like setting up the server, managing user interactions. You just focus on the logic of your dashboard.
Like a magic wand that turns your Python code into a working web app. What's the catch?
Okay, so Streamlit is great for simplicity and speed. But it does have limitations when you need complex layouts or lots of customization. Great for simple, streamlined dashboards. But if you want something super polished, visually intricate, with all the bells and whistles, you might need a different tool.
Gotcha. So the go-to for quick prototypes, getting your insights out there fast, but maybe not for a design-heavy, highly customized dashboard.
That's a good way to put it. Now, if you're working with machine learning models and you need a quick and easy way to create a user interface, Gradio is another one to look at.
Gradio is really geared towards showcasing machine learning models, right?
That's right. It's a Python library for building interfaces for your ML models. You can create these interactive demos where people can input data and see the model's predictions live. Perfect for sharing your work or even deploying models in a user-friendly way.
It's like you're opening up the black box of your model. Instead of just seeing the output, you can actually interact with it, see how it reacts to different input. That's really cool.
Yeah, it makes your machine learning models more transparent, accessible, and it's really easy to deploy and share, which makes it popular with ML folks.
So we've covered a lot of ground with Python frameworks. What else is on our dashboard framework tour?
Let's talk about Solara. It's a bit newer. One of the interesting things about Solara is that it's all about being a pure Python solution.
Pure Python. What does that mean when you're building web dashboards?
Well, ideally, it means you don't have to directly work with things like HTML, CSS, or JavaScript. Solara is trying to make web dev easier for Python developers by hiding those complex front-end technologies.
It's like building a house without having to deal with all the carpentry and plumbing details. Focus on the overall design, not the nitty-gritty.
Exactly. Solara uses a reactive programming model, which makes it easy to build dynamic and responsive interfaces. Plus, it works well with all the existing scientific Python libraries, which is great if you're already using things like NumPy, Pandas, scikit-learn, and all that.
Sounds promising for data scientists who are Python-centric. Simplifies web dev, integrates with your existing tools, and lets you create dynamic interfaces. Being a bit newer, are there any drawbacks? Things to watch out for.
Being newer means it has a smaller community and fewer resources than, say, Dash or Streamlit. So if you run into problems, the learning curve might be a bit steeper.
That's always the trade-off with new tech. High potential reward, but you might have to be more resourceful. Still, it sounds like Solara is worth keeping an eye on, especially if you're a Python fan and want to make the web development side of things easier.
Absolutely. And another new framework worth mentioning is Typee.
Okay, Typee. Tell me more. What's special about it?
Typee's goal is to streamline the entire process of building data-driven applications. It tries to combine the data processing with GUI creation, all in one framework.
So it's like bridging the gap between the back-end data work and the front-end interface. Manage both sides in a single environment. That's ambitious.
It is. And what's interesting is Typee uses a really simple Python-based syntax. Makes it easy to learn and use, even for people who aren't web dev pros.
Sounds like a good fit for data pros.
Yeah.
Want to streamline their workflow. Avoid jumping between different tools and languages. They can handle everything, from data cleaning to building the dashboard, all within Typee.
You got it. But like Solara, Typee's pretty new. So similar challenges in terms of community size and resources.
Right.
And it does have its own unique way of structuring things, so there's a learning curve there.
Always a balance with these newer tools. High potential, but you might have to be more of a pioneer, figure things out as you go. But that's part of the fun, right? Exploring the new stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, let's shift focus now. Let's talk about a framework that's designed for handling large-scale data applications. MESOP.
Large scale.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking big data dashboards now. What makes MESOP different from the others?
Well, MESOP is built to handle complex applications with lots of data. It uses a declarative approach, kind of like React, which makes it well-suited for building sophisticated dashboards that can handle those massive data sets.
So if you're working with terabytes of data and speed is critical, MESOP might be your hero.
Could be, but for simpler dashboards, smaller data sets, it might be overkill. And like some of the other newer ones, its community is still relatively small.
Like using a bulldozer to plant a few flowers.
Right.
Gets the job done, but maybe not the most efficient way.
Right. And finally, we have Nice GUI, another Python framework known for being user-friendly and easy to use for building web UIs.
Nice UI. Does it live up to its name?
It seems to. It's a really straightforward way to create web apps with real-time updates and event handling. It's good for simple and complex projects, offering a good balance of ease of use and functionality.
So another good option for Python devs who want to get going quickly, without a steep learning curve, what are the limitations?
Nice GUI is great for general purpose web apps, but it's not specifically designed for data visualization. You'll probably need to use other libraries for advanced data analysis and charting.
So more of a general UI framework that you can use for dashboards, not a dedicated dashboarding tool like Flex Dashboard or Dash.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
Wow, we covered a lot of ground. So many choices for R and Python users. But with all this info, how do you even start to pick the right framework for your project? It's a bit overwhelming.
It can be, yeah. Lots to think about, but that's what these deep dives are for, right? And the good news is the stuff you sent over actually has some really good advice on how to pick the right framework. The main thing is there's no one best solution.
Okay, so no magic bullet. Got it. But where do we even begin? How do we narrow down the choices?
You got to think about your priorities, your constraints. What language are you and your team most comfortable with? How much time do you have? What level of interactivity do you absolutely need versus, you know, what would just be nice to have?
So it's about weighing the pros and cons, right? Seeing what fits this specific project. It sounds like for our users, Shiny and Flex Dashboard are still really strong options.
Yeah, for sure. They've been around a while, good support, big communities, and they strike a nice balance between power and being easy to use, especially if you're already working in the R world.
But for Python, it's a bit more, well, there are just so many choices. Where do you even start in that whole Python framework landscape?
If speed is key, Streamlit and Gradio are great places to start. You can build dashboards quickly without getting bogged down in all the web dev stuff.
Like the fast food of dashboards. Quick, easy, good when you need something up and running in a hurry.
Huh. I like that. But if you need more flexibility, more customization, then Dash and Panel give you more advanced options. Dash, like we said before, it's really good at using those React components to make unique designs.
So if you know React and you like that front-end dev stuff, Dash lets you control every little detail of how your dashboard looks.
Yep. But if you're really into that Jupyter workflow, Panel might be a better fit.
Because it works so well with Jupyter notebooks, right? And with all those different plotting libraries. So you don't have to learn a whole new way of working.
Exactly. And then you've got those newer frameworks like Solara and NiceGUI trying to make web dev simpler for Python users.
Trying to bring that back-end data work and front-end presentation closer together. Make it easier for data people to build web apps without becoming web dev experts. It's a cool trend to watch.
It is. And if you're working with huge EE datasets, need something that can handle it, Mesop and Typee are worth checking out.
Like the heavy-duty tools for data apps, they can process and visualize tons of information. But as we talked about earlier, choosing a newer framework means, well, there are those trade-offs.
Right. Smaller community, maybe fewer resources out there, and possibly a steeper learning curve. But for those who are willing to be early adopters, try new things, those newer frameworks are really interesting.
So it all comes down to your needs, what's important for your project, your team. No single best framework, just different tools that are good at different things. The trick is finding the one that aligns with what you're trying to do.
Well said. But as you go out there and start building your own dashboards, I want to leave you with one last thought.
Okay, I'm all ears.
What if you combine the strengths of different frameworks, like using a simple Streamlit interface to get input from the user, and then sending that data to a more powerful, shiny app to do the heavy analysis and make those fancy visualizations?
Ooh, a hybrid approach. Mm. That's interesting. Take the best of both worlds and create something really custom, really unique.
Exactly. Something to think about as you're exploring all these tools. The data viz world's always changing. There are always new ways to bring your data to life.
Well, that was quite the journey. We explored our Flex dashboard, looked at all sorts of other dashboard frameworks, and even thought about hybrid approaches.
It was. I hope this deep dive helps you as you start your own dashboarding adventures. Remember, the important thing is choosing tools that help you tell your data story effectively.
Go forth and build amazing dashboards. And if you ever get stuck, this deep dive is here for you, ready to help you navigate the ever-changing world of data viz.